This is an ABC podcast.
This is Nijin Footy with Sam Wykes and Jinidar Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Kia ora to all our Cook Island listeners. You're going to love today's show. We've got an up-and-coming star who is shining a bright light in the NRL at the moment. And welcome to everyone joining us for Nijin Footy, the number one spot to celebrate our Pacifica talent in the Rugby League and Rugby Union Worlds. My name is Sam Wykes, and alongside me is my Cook Island koi, Tinara Arona T. It's good to be back with you in the studio, mate. I had last Friday off. I'm back.
It's good to see you back in the office, brother. Kia ora to you listening. Yes, the upcoming superstar is Kale Iro. Now, he is the son of Kevin Iro, the OG beast. Fun fact for you, I got to play with both Kale and his father.
How old are you?
For the Cook Islands. Yes, so when I first started playing for the Cook Islands, got to play with his old man. And then my last couple of games, I got to play with Kale. And I said to Kale, "Go, you know I played with your dad, right?" He just started laughing at me.
Oh, how good's that?
But he's now playing some good footy for the Cronulla Sharks in the NRL. Made over 200 metres on the weekend. So really looking forward to seeing how he pulled up from his game and then dive into his story and his upbringing and his journey. So a good one to look forward to. We'll also catch up with Shelley Long and cover the Super W finals this weekend. And, you know, plenty of NRL games to cover, some upsets, some huge scores, some players that didn't want to bring the shoulder pads. But
it's been a theme the last few weeks. Yeah,
we will dive straight into it shortly.
Moment of the week.
Yeah, moment of the week. This week, we're going to go to the beautiful kingdom of Tonga. Over there, Moana Pacifica are going to be playing against the Reds in a couple of weeks' time. First ever Super Rugby game played over there. And one of their stars, Solomone Funaki, was over there this week because Moana Pacifica had the bye. And they went to the school of Liahona. And have a listen to this about the reception that the Moana Pacifica players got. Those moments are beautiful, especially that's what Super Rugby Pacific's been able to do. We've seen it in Rugby League as well, where our Pacifica stars get to go back to where it all started and just give back, and the community, the kids, the smiles on their faces, they can actually see their heroes and be able to say that this is where it all started for me. And the dreams are true, that you can be whatever you make it. So I love seeing those moments. So that's why it was our moment of the week.
Yeah, it's about that representation. And I mentioned earlier before the show that we'll speak to Kale, but his father, you know, being a successful rugby league player, going back to the Cook Islands and him shining that light on Rarotonga and also his own son. So I want to kind of dive into that.
Yeah, you're not wrong, T. And you can see that on the Moana Pacifica Instagram site. And also, is it called a site, T? Instagram page? Instagram site? Geez, I feel
page.
Old.
Instagram page.
Yeah.
Instagram site, eh? Okay.
Well, anyway, on their page. And also, if you haven't listened already, go to wherever you get your podcast and listen back to our chat with Sekope Kepu, who is also with Moana Pacifica.
Hey, guys. David Mead here, and you're listening to Nijin Footy.
Time for Footy Rock. Time for footy rolls, results. Man, got to get
that
right.
Wouldn't want a roll right now, pork roll. But yeah,
Barn me roll.
Yeah.
But yeah, time for footy results and news. Mate, the NRL in round 7, there were some strange results. And I will touch on a few shortly. But mentioned during the introduction, the shoulder pads, some players not bringing the shoulder pads to their game. But on the flip side, there was some entertaining tries that were scored over the weekend. Now, the Sea Eagles versus the Titans, 34-30. A huge score, something that you don't usually see.
34-30.
34-30 sounds like some of your rugby union scores lately. But also the Dragons, Dolphins, the Bulldogs and Sharks all getting some great wins over the weekend. The Dragons, beating the Warriors in Wollongong 30-12. I don't think anyone's seen this score coming or this win coming, and the Bulldogs, you know, beating your
up the doggies.
Your doggies.
How good?
Beating the Knights 36-12 in Sydney. Now, these teams were struggling last year. It's good to see them finding some momentum, getting some big results. What are your thoughts on how this change has come about?
Well, firstly, it's going to be a Dragons-Bulldogs grand final this year. You're calling it.
Did you call a different grand final a few weeks ago?
Yeah. Mate, going off my tips, take no notice of it. But it's actually great to see that, you know, when you keep putting in the effort week in, week out at training, knowing that the wins are just around the corner, especially over a long period of time for some of these players, that those rewards start to pay off, that hard work is starting to pay off. So, and the hardest thing is you have so much external noise that goes with it, and it's probably you and the player next to you are the only people that can see the wins that are going to come around the corner. So for the players, I'm just stoked for them that they're getting rewarded for their hard work week in, week out. But a week is another long time. They just got to get on the horse and do it again.
Yeah, we got to see Fa'amanu Brown make his debut for the Dragons. Our good friend that's played for many, many clubs now, and he's chasing that record. But also the Samoan skipper for the Bulldogs, Stephen Crichton. Mate, he's just a leader. Made to lead.
Yeah.
That try that he scored where he just skips outside the defender, palm, flick, offload, regathers the ball, scores for his team. You can just see that he brings that energy for the Bulldogs. So, he's doing a great job in leading that club, and I'm sure they have plenty of success to come. But in Bathurst, so Bathurst is just under a three-hour drive from Sydney City, heading inland past the Blue Mountains. And in Bathurst, we've seen the Panthers take on the Tigers. Last season, the Tigers upsetting the defending champions, beating them in a wet night game, but not this time around. The Panthers winning this match 22-6. Now, the Tigers giving the Panthers too much ball, making 15 errors to the Panthers' 8. Four try scorers for the Panthers. Now, we've seen Fijian winger Sunia Turuva. He got a double. And then we also seen a Tongan Australian on debut for the Panthers. He came over from the Dogs. Paul Alamotti. He scored a try for the Panthers, showing his strength and speed.
Do you know who his nephew is? Do you know who his uncle is?
Who, Paul's?
Yep, we went and did the stairs with him. Remember the stairs at Coogee?
Yep.
Tils Atelier. That's his nephew. Yeah, that's his nephew.
Oh, there you go.
There you go.
It runs in the family. Tils was flying up that stairs too, trying to keep up with him. But last week, the man of last week, the Kiwi skipper, heading to the Warriors next year, he smiles as he breaks a tackle and sees the opening to score a try, the one, the only, James Fisher-Harris.
21 metres out from the line. Dummy half Kenny goes left to Young. Short ball Fisher-Harris. Oh, he needed one more pass, did he? No, he didn't. James Fisher-Harris gets through Papali'i. He kept on going. It was like he was on the end of a bow and arrow. James Fisher-Harris, he's able to score a try, his first of the year.
I wonder how he's feeling after watching the Warriors lose to the Dragons on the weekend, knowing that week he, you know, signed and it was announced that he was heading over next year. So,
too much celebrations going on with the Warriors with the announcement of that. And he has the biggest biceps in the comp, I reckon. Beautiful Wesley Snipes on him.
Good to see you checking out the boys.
That's all I do.
Well, on a wet Brisbane night, we've seen the Broncos put on a show against the Canberra Raiders, entertaining their fans, scoring 6 tries in total and winning this match 34-10. Now, Reece Lightning Walsh, he's an absolute freak. He scored 2 tries and, you know, when he has the ball, all he needs is just that half a shoulder or half a hole and then see it later. He's gone. He also kicked 5 from 6 conversions. Broncos now jump into the 8s and are now 6 on the ladder. They will play Tigers next round.
Carrigan left-hand side of the field. Mandalay pass. Puts Walsh through a gap. Reece Lightning's away. Darts away from 1-2. Beats Teddy Stewart. Slides in to score on the counter-attack. And it's the Broncos who are in first after 13 minutes, 4-0.
Did you just steal the commentator's line? Reece Lightning? Did you listen to that beforehand and thought you'd use it here?
No, I just came up.
Just came up with it. Coincidence.
Wise men think alike. Well, we'll mention Kale Iro. We'll be catching up with him shortly. The Sharks winning the game 42-6. They beat the Cowboys. But I just want to give a quick shout out to Braden Hamlin Yuele. He's the prop for the Sharkies. He played his 100th NRL game on the weekend.
Well, remember, you can hear every NRL game each week live on ABC Radio Australia.
And in the New South Wales jersey flag, we've seen the Cavite Silktails lose to the Rabbitohs in Sydney, 14-22. Bulldogs this weekend, who are second on the ladder. So the pain might continue for the Cavite Silktails.
So that's, they haven't got a win this year?
Nah, they're still winless.
Come on, lads.
Big game to come against the Bulldogs, though. And in the Queensland Cup, we have the PNG Hunters. They lost to Redcliffe Dolphins and Port Moresby. They lost 20-39. Hunters slipped down to 11th on the Queensland Cup table.
Hopefully they get. Surely the win's around the corner, boys. The win is around the corner.
That's it for rugby league.
All right.
There was a lot there, eh?
There's a bit going on in rugby league. That's good. Well, speaking around the corner, let's go to rugby union. I think it is very clear that the Blues and the Hurricanes are the firm favourites to win this year. But I guess before I make any bold statements like that, T.
Yeah, you've had You've had enough.
I should come to my new union expert, Tinara Arona.
Eight from eight.
This is a stitch up. How are you doing this? And let's, before you answer that, the Force played the Crusaders and the Force won 37-15 in Perth.
Easy pick, mate.
And you picked them.
Yes, in Perth. Well, you said at the start of the year it was one of your Smokies. So I thought I might listen to my mate here.
And except every other round, just right now.
No, and we've been talking about how Crusaders haven't found much form. They're struggling this year. So it just made sense to me. And Tupo Sopawanga, who took your pick last week on Nijan Footy Fridays, took the Crusaders, so I say yes. Unfortunately, you got one wrong.
That's why you went, because you wanted to go head to head with me. Again.
And I listen to Big Kefs, who we have on our show every as well. Friday. So every Friday, you can tune in and get your tips off Big Kefs.
Well, mate, it's impressive. And to be honest, the last time the Western Force beat the Crusaders, yours truly, yes, Sammy Wykes, was in the second row. Got hooked at half time, but that's okay. We won. So it was the last time.
Was it 1980?
That's a good one, mate.
1980.
2013. Come on, mate.
2030.
But we'll also go deeper.
It's been that long since the Force beat Crusaders.
Yeah, I had a good record against the Crusaders. But anyway, Dan Carter. Yeah, who is he? Anyway, we'll go deeper into the Hurricanes Drua game soon. But first, let's touch on the Auckland Blues. As I said, they're going to be in the mix there with the Hurricanes. Their defense and the points they're piling on in attack, especially in the last 3 weeks, has just been a pure masterclass. When they played Moana Pacifica a few weeks ago, it was 47-8. A week later, they flog the Western Force, my Smokies, 50-3. And then on the weekend, made light work of the Brumbies, who were coming third at the time, and won 46-7. Watching Samoan winger for the Blues, Caleb Clark's try off the scrum. So I'm watching those under eights games where you just do one pass off the scrum and you give it to the best player.
Go find space, brother.
We didn't. He just found the person, just ran straight over them.
Ran straight over.
Poor Noah Lolasio, the Brumbies fly half. But yeah, they're impressive.
Is Brumbies one of Australia's best teams?
Yeah, that was. I'm pretty sure they might have been equal second.
Damn, 46-7. Were they missing any players?
No, it was probably their strongest team. It's just hard to play in Eden Park over in New Zealand. It's just something about that place. Australians just do not play well over there.
Well, I heard the crowds, they're not getting the numbers in the stadium, so I heard they're trying to get over to Mount Smart because of the the leasing cost.
They might do a swap because the Warriors are getting all the fans.
So all the Wars are, you know, get
fill
over
out
to
Eden Park,
and they won't have sellouts, or they'll probably sell out that stadium.
It makes sense to me. They're on fire, the Wars, except last weekend, but in terms of their crowd, beautiful. But as I said, we'll talk about the Drua Hurricanes. Yeah, I was over in Fiji for this one. You know, Shelley will touch more on the women's semi, but it was a double header. The draw women played the Western Force in their semi, and the draw men played straight after against the undefeated Hurricanes. I must say the atmosphere was outstanding. It was electric. Sold out, over 15,000 people packed into Suva Stadium for the first ever Friday night game over there. So it was pumping. And get this, you know, their Prime Minister Sitiveni Rambuka, he publicly announced that day at lunch, just before lunchtime, that all, and let me, I just want to get this right here, that all schools and non-essential civil servants had the permission to leave work at lunchtime to go watch the Drua play, both games. What about that?
On a Friday afternoon.
Friday afternoon. You know,
they got to knock off just to go watch them play.
Straight from the
play, Hurricanes and also the Fijian Drua. Fijiana? No, Fijian Drua.
Fiji Drua, yeah. Yep. Straight from the top dog. You've been given permission, and they took it literally. There was a packed house, sold out. Sold out
what,
over there.
What if you're a business owner and you're like, no, I need you to work.
Sorry, mate, the PM said I could go. But yeah, so by halftime of the women's semi, it was a full house. So they got to play in front of an amazing crowd over there. And it was a grandstand finish as well. But the Hurricanes, they got the bonus point win, winning 38-15, bringing the Drua 7-game winning streak, their home winning streak, to an end. But, you know, the Drua had some solid moments early on in the game. They had a young 19-year-old fly half, Rambitu. He scored a great try, supporting on the inside of Yosefa Masi. I just want to send our condolences out to young Azara Ravula, who has been on the show. His grandfather sadly passed away, which is Richie Moonga's dad. And that's why young Rambitu got his chance in the 10 jersey. But he was outstanding too for a young man, only 19, really stepped up and scores a try in his first starting debut. But the Hurricanes dominated first half, leading 28-7 at halftime. And in the second half, there was a glimmer of hope for the Drua when the Hurricanes received back-to-back yellow cards going down to 13. They couldn't capitalize on that numerical advantage. They were only able to score a penalty kick. That was it. I couldn't believe how the Hurricanes just controlled that game.
Two men down.
You know when you go down players, and sometimes you think the tries are just going to happen and automatically happen.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, the Hurricanes really stood up. They didn't flood the breakdown. They only had one person in the backfield, and they just tried to spread across the line. And I thought the Drua just were a bit impatient on trying to just score straight away, score, and they just forced a couple of errors. And when those tries didn't come early, yeah, it just the Hurricanes grew in confidence, and they went on to win that game pretty convincingly. They got up 38-15. 38-15. So that was the Hurricanes over there. They played an impressive brand over there and in front of a packed house. But the Drua have a big game this week. It's the Battle of the Pacific. So I can't wait to go deep into Friday, review it, and see who comes out the winner. In the World Rugby Pacific Challenge, Japan won that, the Japan 15. It was a round-robin style format played in Samoa, in Apia. They got the big wins over Tonga, 65-15. They also got a big win over Samoa, 48-5. And just beat Fiji 45-43, and Tonga's got a lot of work to do because they got pumped in nearly every single one of their games. Yeah, so that competition is just all the young talent coming through on display, hoping to get an invite into the combine, to get a contract with either Moana Pacifica or the Drua or pretty much anywhere around the world. But all the big coaches were at this tournament watching the game. We saw Eddie Jones there. There was Tana Umanga. There was Nili Latu. There was all of them watching this Pacific Challenge. So yeah, it's one that hopefully will keep continuing to develop, and we'll see more of our stars come through.
Nice, Sammy. Well, let's head over to Shelley Long and catch up with all the women's footy news.
The long story short with Shelley Long.
Shelley Long is back, our PNG Orchid star and North Queensland Cowboy in the NRLW. How was your week in footy?
It was really good. I felt very challenged, actually, and very unfit, like coming off of a couple of weeks, you know, with some good food, With the family, yep, I felt a bit sluggish.
Well, the Cutters, 28-10. He's dominated once again. What's that, 6 from 6?
Yeah, that's 6 from 6. You know it, T. I said it last week, 5 from 5. This week, 6 from 6.
You know it. You know it. Get the hell out of here with your Sally Cap cheating. Too many Cowboys players in there.
Oh, all right. So, like, I think the game went really well. Like, I actually think Wynnum came out and they had a really tough flight. Their flight was delayed. They got in just before they played. It was a really tough time for them. But I actually thought they did really well. They peppered our edge quite a lot. I think some of the sets that we had to D, I was making 4 tackles in there. That's how much they just kept peppering up. And it was really hot conditions as well. So I think the score doesn't really reflect how hard the game was.
Oh, that's like a very humble victory.
Humble bragging,
a nice way of saying, yeah, we were pretty good, but the other team just, bad preparation.
Have you scored yet? Did you score a try in that game?
I did score a try, but I actually, I spoke to my coach.
Yes or no question? Yes or no?
No, I didn't.
No, thank you. I've been watching this law show, right. Lincoln Lawyer, so I just want to feel like I'm in the courtroom. But anyway.
I was going to say, my coach We're pretty lucky, actually, though, that a few of the Cowboys coaches come and help us out at training. And so I had a few key points that I wanted to focus on in that game. And one of my points was I wanted to do really good line running. And I thought, I did that on the weekend.
Any breaks?
Yeah, I made a couple of breaks.
Yeah.
I didn't believe it. I was like, got through. And then all of a sudden I heard my fullback yell out my name to pass the ball. And then next minute I was tackled in the side and thrown to the ground.
Oh, so you bummed the try.
So I bummed the potential try.
Well, that's your work confidence. After the line break, it's not job done. Support, score, fend, footwork, something.
Nah, but that's good to hear. Just find a corner post and start sprinting towards that corner and put the ball down, score a try.
This week, I'm going to score a try. How about
you will,
that?
You will.
In the corner post.
Yes, put it out there.
All right, let's rip straight into it. What else is there in the rugby league world in women's footy?
Yeah, so the Queensland women's rugby league teams played their 6th round of the competition on the weekend. There's only 3 rounds left of the competition, and it's a really close ladder, so teams are fighting for their spot in the top 4. At the moment, Cutters remain undefeated and ahead by 5 points on the ladder. So they're sitting at 12 points, whilst Clydesdales and Tweed both sit on 7 points in 2nd and 3rd. Devils, Bears, Tigers and Wynnum all sit on 6 points. With Magpies and Falcons clipping at their heels on 4 points. South Logan's birched their arch rivals, Burley Bears, and walked away with the win, 24 points to 18. Now, Cook Islander and young gun Shante Kiria Ratu was on fire with her kicking game, 4 from 4, which helped secure them the win. She has been incredible every week. Her ability to see the game as a half is just sensational. And that kicking game, you've got one of the best kicking games out there at the moment in the Queensland Rugby League competition.
Is that the girl that played for the Gold Coast Titans in the grand final last year?
Yes.
She's a gun. She's very skillful, can read the game well, manage the game well. But now she's one for the future. And it's quite lonely at the top of the ladder there for the Cutters, isn't it?
It is, but you know what they say, you'd rather be at the top than at the bottom.
Yeah.
this gloating is unbelievable. Let's just wind back the clock.
What was it?
Not even 12 months ago, the Cowboys not doing so well in the NRLW. There just was none of this going on, none of this carry on.
Nah, it's good. Own it.
Grade 3 carry on here.
Are there any NRLW signings or news?
Yes, so David Failmore has signed with the Cowboys as our assistant coach. He is a proud Islander himself, previously played for the Kiwi Ferns, a great addition to the Cowboys family, but not so much in the players' signings yet at the moment. We're still waiting to see what happens with the Bulldogs and the Warriors coming in.
On to the rugby union.
So what an incredible performance from all teams over the weekend. Semi-finals footy, like we spoke about last week, is always an interesting type of footy game where anything can happen. But as we saw, both home team performances were undeniably incredible. Drua player Atalate Buna was on fire. She caught my attention last week with her impressive 2 tries, but it was her performance in the semi-final on the weekend and at home in front of Suva with a sellout crowd of 15,000 people that really put on a show. She scored an impressive 3 tries, taking out player of the match as well, and was absolutely incredible for the drawer.
3 weeks in a row, she's received player of the match at the Laite Puna, so she's going to be key for this weekend's game against the Waratahs in the grand final. And on that as well, it's like from their very first grand final the Fijian drawer made, there's only 4 players left from that team that are playing in this grand final this week. So it's quite remarkable when you think about they're going for a three-peat and how much their talent pool has been gutted out. So and they're going to need that Buna, Atelaite Buna, to be able to step up and hopefully get a few tries for them.
Yeah, and I think, like, when you look at the last couple of games, she's definitely been the player to stand up and really say, let's go, team, we've got this one. They came from behind as well at halftime. It was 11 to 10 points. So, you know, it's a really tight game at halftime. And Atelaite Buna, she just pulls out a miracle and pulls out another one. And then the game is going to Drua. So she was absolutely on fire. There's so much I could say about her and the way she plays.
Yeah, no, it was amazing scenes over there, just seeing it all unfold. The Drua players were just, you know, they're waiting to get on the field to do their warm-up. So they're all, like, in the zone, ready to go. But then you've also got this spectacle that's happened in front of them, and they were just all out there watching this game. And you're right, with the Fijian Drua, they can look like they're not even in contention of a grand final the way that they play. You go, what's going on? Then all of a sudden, just like that, they're just world beaters. So it'll be a great game this weekend up in Ballymore. But who else impressed you for the Western Force?
So youngster and proud Tongan Western Force winger Ma'ake showcased her never-say-never mentality. When Drill knocked on the ball and fell to their knees, she instantly picked it up and scored the try. So she played to the whistle. And I thought that was something you don't really see too much of it happen in rugby, in rugby league, where someone just keeps up playing. And especially not in the women's game. So for her to just, her instincts just to click and say, I'm going to pick up this ball and I'm going to score a try, and it be a try, was incredible. So she really stood out to me on the weekend as well.
Nice. And we'll move over to the other semi-final, the Waratahs and the Brumbies. Which Nijin stars stood out for yourself?
So Sally Fuasaina and Melehifo Sikimeti proved too powerful for the Waratahs lineup, scoring a try each, but ultimately it was a hit back from the Waratahs, who won the game 47 points to 27. I thought their tries really helped let the Brumbies come back into the game, but unfortunately the Waratahs proved too strong and were really hungry for a 6-from-6 win.
What about that? That's my cousin that scored that, Sikimeti. So if you put the family tree out there, so my mum, Sikimeti's dad, and Isaiah Katoa's dad, first cousins.
Very talented.
Very
family,
talented
Sammy.
Family. Except I don't know what happened to me in that case, because they all won games.
Yeah, hey, check the resume, man. You'd be proud, brother.
Oh, thanks, T. Fair few losses, but that's just our family. So I just thought, how good's that?
Yeah, they had an incredible game, and it's always good when you see family out there doing our communities really proud. So Sam, I feel like you're like the proud cousin right now.
I am.
On
I am.
Here. I love it.
And if they're listening, please listen and hurry up and answer my messages so we can get you on the show.
So now this Sunday we will see the Waratahs go head-to-head against Fijian Drua in Brisbane. So it is no one's home ground advantage. This will be quite interesting. It is a 2 p.m. kickoff. At the moment here in Queensland, it's really hot. The heat here is absolutely shocking. So they played afternoon games quite later in the afternoon as well for semi-finals. It'll be interesting to see how it goes in Brisbane. I know Fijian Drua will obviously have a little bit of an advantage with it being quite humid as well in Fiji, but be interesting for the Waratahs.
I reckon there'll be more Fijians supporting big Fijian community in Brisbane. So I think they will have the home ground advantage, because New South Wales definitely won't up in Brisbane.
Well, you'd hope not. That's like the red area. But you never know. You always see a South supporter fan in the crowd somewhere. There might be some
South guy, yeah.
Waratahs supporter. But I will also say that last time Drua played the Waratahs in the round game, they did lose 21 points to 62. So oh, wow. I feel like they'll be doing a lot of homework in preparation for this grand final. And we also know that in the previous grand finals that the draw have played, they have been coming off the back of not always winning. So they do pull out a grand final, amazing performances, and I feel like we're ready to watch another one.
Yeah, it happened last year. They definitely weren't supposed to be even in the final, and the Reds should have won that last year, but the draw women just absolutely killed it, came out the blocks and got that win, and they're looking to do that again this week. But Shelley, there's a lot happening in the women's game at the moment, so hopefully when we come back here on Monday, we'll be able to talk all things grand final footy and Super W.
I'm looking forward to it. See you next Monday, guys. Thank you.
Seven from seven. Let's
Laters.
Go.
Culture shock.
Yes, this is our spot where we try and shock and impress each other with some fun facts around the Pacific. Last week, I schooled you on rugby union in Wallace and Futuna. This week, we're heading to Tuvalu.
Well, why are we trying to shock and impress each other? Aren't we just providing some vital information to our listeners? No?
Bit of both.
Bit of both, fair enough.
If you shock me, then I know that our listeners are shocked.
Well, okay, well, you're in for a treat. So we're going to Tuvalu.
Tuvalu. Where's Tuvalu?
Tuvalu, Tuvalu is between Hawaii. Do you say it like that? Hawaii? Hawaii?
Hawaii. Hawaii.
Hawaii. Hawaii. Hawaii. Got me. Hawaii and Australia. So it's in the Pacific Ocean, tiny island country there. It's one of the least visited countries in the world, T. But to be honest, this is actually a sad culture shock. This is, hopefully it doesn't happen, but because Tuvalu only sits about 2 meters above sea level, it means the country is at risk of going underwater. And out of the 9 islands, 2 of Tuvalu's islands are already very close to being underwater.
Wow.
So, again, hopefully that doesn't happen. Someone needs to do something about it because we can't lose our little tiny brothers and sisters over there and something
tiny
is done.
Islands.
Tiny islands. So, why can't I say tiny brothers and sisters?
Because it's not, we'll lose the islands, not the people.
Oh, that's true. Oh, my goodness. Can we edit this out? The islands, you're right. But that's Tuvalu. Hopefully that doesn't happen. And, yeah, our tiny island still stays above water over there. So much love to all the people out in Tuvalu. Hopefully you get to listen to Nijin footy.
Where are we off to next week, mate?
We are off to the Solomon Islands.
Honiara.
Honiara or wherever in the Solomon Islands.
I'll come back with something from the Solomon Islands next week.
Beautiful. Looking forward to it. So let's get over to Kao Iro.
This is Nijin Footy.
Well, Sammy, it's time, mate. You think that I'm Cook Island royalty. We have real Cook Island royalty on our show here on Nijin Footy. His name is Kao Iro, the son of Kevin Iro and the OG Beast and the nephew of Tony Iro. He's played 8 games for the Cook Islands. He's also played 4 games for the Cronulla Sharks and just came off a huge victory against the Cowboys yesterday. Welcome to Nijin Footy, Kao Iro.
Get on the boys. How are you?
It's not a bad intro, that one. How good was that?
Oh, mate. Well, I'm in royalty. This guy is the prince of Rarotonga, the prince of Arurangi, you call it. This guy's the man. So let's speak about your upbringing. You know, where were you born? Where did you grow up? Where did you learn the game of rugby league as well?
Yeah, so originally I was born over in England in Leeds because my old man was playing the Super League over there. I think it was at Leeds Rhinos then when I was born.
Yep.
Then I think the next season he retired, so we moved straight back to Cook Islands where I grew up. So, yeah, we moved there, and I think I was just about turning 2. I lived there for about 13 years, so, I call that place home, and, yeah, pretty proud, balling man.
Played rugby league for Arurangi Bears?
Yeah, so I actually played rugby union because league didn't start till under-16s back then. I just played rugby union. I was always, like, the little halfback or the little short fella they chuck on the wing just to get in the team. I started rugby, and then once it got to 14, I think I was playing under 16s for league.
Can you paint us a picture of what it's like as a kid playing in the Cook Islands? Is it boots? Is there grass on the field? All that type of environment that comes by playing in the Pacific?
Yeah. So like the field's actually pretty mint condition. But yeah, we never played with boots or anything. Like, I think you actually weren't even allowed to wear boots as a kid. Like, I think some kids will have boots, but they just said you weren't allowed to wear them because not everyone had boots. But I didn't think I started wearing boots until I was about 16 years old or 15 when I moved to New Zealand. Yeah, when I moved to New Zealand, that's when I started wearing boots. But yeah, it was pretty weird. And now I'm cursed with the flat feet for playing.
Got those Roro feet.
Yeah.
Well, we had another Tongan player come on and talk about wearing boots for the very first time, and they just couldn't wear it anymore, even for playing without it for so long. They tried them at the age of 16 and they had to throw them off. Was it weird putting on boots for the very first time playing in New Zealand?
Yeah, no, I can't really remember like the first time I did wear them, but yeah, it was definitely weird. And now like my feet are just slowly molding in, my toes are getting all tight.
I mentioned your father earlier, and I said during the introduction here on Nijan Footy how I got to play with yourself and your father both for the Cook Islands, and Sammy here laughed at me. But your father played both in Super League and the NRL. When was it when you were a kid? When was it when you first realized, oh, my dad was a pretty big rugby league player?
Yeah, I think I was pretty young when I knew, and I think I was probably like 6 because I used to always watch his. We used to have the old like videotape players back home, and like I don't think he'd put it on, but mum would put it on. We just would watch it at home back in Rara. So I think I knew at a young age that. No, I wanted to play footy as well, that I wanted to grow up and play league. But yeah, obviously, like, and everyone back home in the island, they loved him there. So I always knew he was probably like the man back in his day. So yeah.
I guess everyone's got those uncles, eh, where they talk a good game. They're like, yeah, back in my day. And you think, nah, come on, mate. Like, you're having a laugh here. But, you know, to be able to see your dad on the videotape and seeing him carve up, what was like the initial feelings that you got when you saw that?
Yeah, I don't really know. Hey. Like, probably just like a role model type. Like, you look up to someone like that. So, wouldn't say proud. Like, I was just a little kid, but like, probably, yeah, like, oh, I want to be like that one day. Like, that kind of feeling.
One of my favorite moments playing for the Cook Islands was when we were in Rarotonga and we played the New Zealand Maoris, and we needed a guy to fill in, and it was your father. He hadn't played in a few years.
How old was he at the time?
Oh, probably about 40. 15 years ago. But I ended up passing it to him. Or I made a break and I set him up for a try. And that moment where I passed it and he's gone and put it over, I was like, oh, I feel like the man. I've gone like to go give him a big hug. And he just walked back and like walked into a position for the kickoff. I'm like, nah, he knows I passed to him. But it felt pretty cool to be able to say, man, I got the beast to try. Did you feel like when you were growing up, you had any expectation to become a rugby league player because of your father?
Nah, if anything, but it was opposite. Like, he didn't want me to become a rugby player. He wanted me to, first he wanted me to do athletic because I was like real fit I was just a little short, skinny fella growing up all my life. I was fit. So I used to do well in like the athletics and stuff. So he wanted me to go that path. Then I said, nah, I don't want to do that. I want to play like league. And then the next thing, he was trying to get me into soccer. So, yeah, he was doing anything he could to, I don't know why, but I was just determined to obviously follow his footsteps and go with my dream. So, yeah, just happy to be where I am now.
What events were you good at for athletics?
It was more long distance. I wasn't the quickest, but yeah, just the long distance, like 800 meters and 1,000 meters and stuff like that.
Holy, again, not too many Indonesian boys would be liking the long distance stuff. So, you have really bucked the trend here.
Yeah, that's the one thing he said too. So I think that's why he wanted me to push more for that.
No, very talented family. I just want to speak about your development. So you didn't have like Hal Matthews, SG Ball, that kind of route where juniors get to play that rep footy and build that foundation. Mm-hmm. Where do you think you developed as a rugby league player and learnt your skills and built that foundation for where you are now?
Yeah, I think obviously like back home, there's only like 4 teams, so you're not getting much competition, like in the younger grades, especially. So, I remember as a young kid, I was always wanting to move to New Zealand because I already knew what I wanted to do. So, I was trying to move early. Like, I think when I was like 12, I was always begging my dad, please let me go to New Zealand. But he just would never let me go. And then, my mum, I had to beg mum to changed his mind. So he finally ended up letting me leave around, I think I was 2015. So 2015 I left. Yeah, it wasn't until then I started actually eating like McDonald's and stuff. So I started to grow. And I think it felt like once I went to New Zealand.
Started eating McDonald's and you grew.
I started eating food because I never used to eat like much food growing up. I was always a little fella, man. Like, yeah, he used to call me Wee Man. So yeah, I was just a little skinny guy. And I didn't think once I moved to New Zealand, then I obviously started wearing rugby boots and eating food and growing. Then I feel like that's when my development started to come.
Did you go over by yourself or did the whole family go?
No, just me. So my grandma at the time, my mama, she was living there with my elder sister, Ashley. And I finally got over there. So yeah, I lived with them, went to Mount Albert Grammar School. We lived in Mount Albert, yeah, in Auckland.
And then from there, where did you first start playing some senior footy?
So I think that year, I think I played Mount Albert, but I was playing restricted because I was still a little fella. I think I was playing in like under 65 kgs or something. And then I think the next year or that year, maybe I might have made what they have in Auckland. They have like Akrana, it's called, or like Auckland Vulcans actually is like, and then they play nationals. I think I made the Auckland Vulcan side and we had the national thing there. And then from that, I made it into like the Warriors development thing. And I think it wasn't until 2017 I started playing 20s then.
And then when did you make your debut for the Cook Islands?
That was 2019. So I was still playing 20s.
Yeah.
That was 2019. I was still playing 20s at Warriors. And that was against South Africa. You went and played that, eh?
No, I was in the UK. I think I got injured and Adam Tangata, he went over for that trip. I heard it was a good one. But tell us about that moment, you know, representing the homeland, growing up in the Cook Islands. What was it like? And, you know, everyone speaks about the anthem, that moment when it's like it hit you. Tell us about your moment when it hit you.
Yeah, I think it actually hit me early in the week because, like, when you did all the culture, like, practicing, like the haka practice and, like, just singing the anthem and stuff, like, they always hit me early in the week and I just got emotional as a, and I actually remember that just before the game, I cried in the anthem, like, and I never cry, bro. It's crazy. And then, yeah, it's just like a happy, happy cry, obviously. And, just proud, eh? Obviously, growing up as a kid, me and my brother always, promised each other one day that we'd rep Cook Islands. Like, before thinking about playing NRL, we always just wanted to play for Cook Islands. Pretty surreal feeling.
Were you one of the very few that had actually grew up in Cook Islands compared to, I guess, all the other players in that team?
Yeah, I think I would have been, obviously, Adam Tangata was the other one. And then Sam Mataro went to and from as well. But yeah, I was probably, me and Adam were probably the most, like, grew up there, played juniors there and stuff like that. But even to this day, I still don't speak fluently. So I want to learn that soon, actually. So I need to get that under my belt. But obviously, when it comes to it, I'm just proud to do it, eh?
Hey, I still claim I'm local. I spent 1 year at Matavera, up the Tupapa Panthers. It's always special representing the Cook Islands, and it's not like playing with your teammates. You're playing with your brothers, and always feels cool to be in them camps. Watched you yesterday representing the Cronulla Sharks, playing in the NRL. But particularly the Cronulla Sharks, there's a strong Pacifica representation group there of players. What's it like being surrounded by many Pacific players in your NRL team?
No, it's pretty good, bro. Like, obviously the Aussie boys, like, they get around it. Like, we always have, I think Fitzy's big on, like, getting involved with all the cultural stuff. So, like, the Indigenous boys to, like, the Pacific rounds and stuff, like, we always have things at the club to, like, make us feel welcome, make us show our colours, show everyone where we grew up and come from. So, it's good to have like all the different mixtures of cultures. And it just helps me feel more comfortable in my skin and where I'm at.
Because you didn't, like, I guess, have that experience of Harold Matz and SG Ball and I guess the pressure's probably straight away from being young, making your debut in the NRL, is it everything you thought it would be, envisioned and dreamed?
Yeah, for sure, bro. Like even last night, like, every week, bro, I'm coming off the field like, bro, I just played NRL, like, and it, like, even waking up every day, I'm just like, wow, this is the dream, eh? Like, I'm, like, living near the beach now, and, like, yeah, it's everything I've, like, dreamed of. Eh? It's pretty cool.
So you don't, I guess, feel like that pressure, the professionalism where people get worked up over, you know, oh, it's 2 days a week training, or I've got to eat this, or I've got a media commitment. You don't really feel that
like
pressure?
Where it feels like it becomes a job.
A job?
No, I don't even refer to it as a job. Like, I don't say, like, oh, I got work tomorrow. I just say, oh, I got training tomorrow. Like, I just see it, like, just as like fun, just training, getting fit, and it's just like that. I don't ever see it like as a job. And I enjoy doing like the media, or not media stuff, like the promo stuff like that. Like I enjoy going to the disability programs and hospital visits and stuff like that. Like it gives me like a feel good thing. So it feels like I'm doing something well. So that's I enjoy it.
I seen your mother and brother and also your father yesterday. All come down and watch you play when you get the opportunity. What's it like having your family travel over from Rauro or from Brisbane where your brother stays to come and watch you on the big stage?
Yeah, no, it's pretty cool, bro. Like, especially luckily now they put those, what's it called, the direct flights from Rauro back. I think they're only like 600 return now, so hopefully we can get them over for some more games. And it's pretty cool, eh? Like, obviously, that's why I'm here, is for my family and prove them right, I guess, and make them proud. So put them to fly over from the other side of the Pacific is pretty special to support me, yeah.
No, it's cool. I know not only your family, but the whole rock, the whole island's proud of you, brother. Last question for me. If you were to speak to a young Cook Islander boy growing up on the island, and they have the dreams of playing in our role, What is some advice that you'd pass on to that kid?
Yeah, probably just don't get too comfortable back home. I like, there's so much talent there, bro. Like back home, so I was never like the talented player. I was just always the little fella, and I was just lucky enough to have a role model like my old man. So hopefully, I can be a role model to young kids back home, someone to look up to. And just to, like, so they can have someone to follow and they can have more drive. And I feel like back home is just more like a comfortable, like, lifestyle. Like, you don't really seek more, like, something else, because everything's just so free and like, chilled there. So, yeah, probably just follow your dreams. If you want to do something, don't let anyone else tell you that you can't do it. Yeah, just keep working and just be a good person and good things will happen for you.
Just following on that theme, what would your advice be to, I guess, I know you're not a parent at the moment, but for parents who want it for their kids, you know, and there's a fair few of our Pacifica players and talent at a young age, they feel that pressure of the parents or the family to do well. Like, it seems like you got the balance right, or your dad got the balance right with yourself. Do you have any advice for them about, you know, letting their kids just have fun?
Or like how the father...
What lessons he learned
from the father, and how the father treated, how Kevin treated.
Yeah, the situation of his son, yeah.
I guess it's probably how you're brought up. Like some kids probably wouldn't have reacted nice, like the way my dad used to train me and push me. Like some probably would have went the other way, because he used to train me hard, but as like a young fella, like I used to run up the hills and he used to chase me in a car and don't let me catch, like stuff like that. but I guess it's just like a personality thing. Like some people will like more of the encouragement stuff, and then some kids probably need more of like a kick up their ass kind of thing. But I think it's just for the parents to know their kid and what they need to succeed, I guess.
Yeah,
that's really
important.
I know I said I'd say I had said my last question, but I got one more for you. It's what's the biggest lesson you've learned from your father growing up?
I don't know, probably just being a good person. Like he's a humble dude. Like he doesn't really, obviously everyone like praises how much of a great player he was and what a great career he had, but he doesn't really like talk much about it. Probably just humility and just being a good character, being a good person, probably the main lesson that I've got from him.
Oh, that's unreal, bro. That actually, you can feel that, you know, speaking to yourself and your demeanor and everything about you is going to set you up for a very long career, because you've got a good head on your shoulders. And I think some of those lessons that you mentioned is vital, especially for our Pacifica talent out there, players who are aspiring. So I've got nothing but love for yourself. Wish you all the best. Hopefully the Sharkies can get another premiership under the belt. You guys are flying. But yeah, look forward to the time we get to catch up again.
Yeah, Moonsy, if you're listening to this, re-sign him, man. Throw the book. Appreciate you, Kakite, and wish you all the best this season.
Later, bro.
Later, bye.
Hi, I'm Alicia Lefofogo-Celia from the Australian Women's Sevens team, and you're listening to Nisian Footy.
Nisian Knowledge.
You're on six. I'm on three.
This hasn't moved in 3 weeks.
No, we're getting pretty competitive here.
We should actually choose hard. You know, in the games, we go hard, medium, and easy mode.
Yeah. Oh, now or next week?
Nah, we'll probably now. Was it the start?
Well, anyways, this is Nisian Knowledge, where we ask each other three questions. And we keep a scoreboard, keep a score. The score is 6-3, and the loser at the end of the season will get a Nisian Footy tattoo
on the molly.
So, yes, I'll start. 2 weeks ago, I asked you, Sammy.
2 weeks ago? I don't remember what it did 5 minutes ago.
Your Super Rugby debut year was?
2008.
2008, and you played the Cheetahs.
Yes,
and
I played the Cheetahs.
The score was?
16-15,
correct. So that was my build up to this question.
Oh, this is part two.
Yeah, because you got it wrong, so I just used that as a question last time. So in that season, 2008 Super Rugby, who was the top try scorer in the whole competition
in the
Super 14 2008 season? Top try scorer.
Give me a hint if it's Australia, New Zealand, or South Africa. New Zealand franchise. Okay. Who won that year? So the Crusaders won that year. Joe Rokotoko.
Lelia Masanga.
From the Chiefs.
That hurts. He scored 8 tries that season. 8.
Yeah. Oh, he schooled me that year. There's a photo on the internet where he was good with the two steps, you know, where you step one person and you don't shut the gate on the inside because you think, God, the next person will get him.
Yep.
Steps that guy, and I'm the third guy in trying to chase.
Oh, so we bang, bang.
Bang, bang, and I've come over, my mouth is open, and he's just there laughing, fending me off for one of those 8 tries.
That's nice. Still got his handprint on your chest?
Yep. Let's go. Nil. So
all right. In the West Highlands province of Papua New Guinea is the rugby league team the Mount Hagen Watts? You know you like these.
I like these questions. Like these are good ones. Is it after an NRL team or no?
No.
Oh, so that was going to say the Mount Hagen Warriors, but that's not going to be.
Well, it is, but it's not. It is, but it's not.
The Mount Hagen.
It's an animal.
It's an animal?
Yeah, it's an animal.
The Mount Hagen Lions.
The Mount Hagen Eagles. So it is, and it's not seagulls, but I didn't want to say yes.
Okay.
All right.
I like those questions.
Yeah, I know.
Shout out to the Mount Hagen Eagles.
All right. Last question. Now, do you play chess?
Oh, I've lost in that 3-move chess move before. Plenty of times. Still can't figure it out.
How many white squares on the chessboard?
Same amount as the black squares.
How many?
The tambourines are going in.
The tambourines, the monkey tambourines going in your brain. Oh,
man, I'm just going to say 24.
Close. 32.
Oh.
64 in total.
Oh, well done, T. So that's donuts again. So the score remains 6-3 for the 800th week in a row. But that's our time up for today of Nisian Footy. Remember, there's recent chats with Big Payne Haas, Brumby star, Faitala Moleka, and plenty more, which you can listen back to wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll see you on Friday. Ka kite.
Ka kite. This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.